Now you have in verse 8 this second section here, the return of Israel to Jerusalem. And we read here, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their window? Well, if there is any prophecy in Scripture that suggests the airplane, this is it. But actually, I think the direct reference is to the ships of the sea. And it does not refer to what's happening today, although I understand that some Jews that came back to that land from the east, farther east than Israel, that they thought this prophecy was being fulfilled when they were brought by American airplanes. But I don't think that's quite the fulfillment of it at all. It doesn't meet the dimensions of the prophecy. Now, verse 9, surely the isles shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from afar. You see, all seagoing nations will return them back to the land in that day. In other words, the nations that once destroyed Israel will now assist in its recovery. And at that time, Russia will send them back. And instead of demanding payment, they'll send them back with gifts as the Egyptians did. And after all that Israel took from the Egyptians was back pay. Remember, they'd been in slavery for 400 years. They had a lot of back pay coming to them. Now, verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Now, you see here that the nations of the world that are saved are going to come in the millennium to Jerusalem. And we're told in verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, these nations shall be utterly wasted. Now that's the thing the Lord Jesus has made clear. He said that he would judge in that day. You visited me in prison. You've helped me and ministered to me when you ministered to one of these, the least of my brethren. And Paul makes it also clear that in that day every knee should bow, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the millennium, man will be forced to bow to Jesus. You see that the force, of course, will be the force of public opinion in that day. In their heart, they won't want to bow, but they're going to go through the motions. And then when Satan is released at the end of the millennium, they have a rebellious heart. They'll naturally gravitate to him, and that's the last rebellion. And that introduces the eternal aspect of the kingdom. I think certain radical changes are going to take place then. I think a new earth comes into existence at that time. Not just the patched up old earth, but there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And God's going to make all things new. He's going to let me start over again. I'm looking forward to that. I didn't do so well when I started off down yonder in Texas 60-some-odd years ago. I'd like to do this over again. I'd like to have a replay, would you not? And so he's going to make all things new. He's not retooling the old nature. He's going to give us a new nature. And in that day, it's going to be a glorious, wonderful day. This is a picture, friends, that ought to excite us today.